B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good evening, everybody. Mike Mastelli's show on a beautiful Thursday in the Delaware Valley, and maybe made more beautiful for you baseball fans by the fact that, you know, by the end of the day, we may have a baseball season. Latest reports are that the Major League Baseball Players Association has kind of agreed in principle, but it was a counterproposal to the owners' season of 60 games. The Major League Baseball Players came back with 70 games. And when you get that close, you're going to make a compromise. You probably go in the middle, and everybody lives happily ever after. And we will have a baseball season of probably 65 games. All right, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Baseball coming back. What does it do for me? What does it do for you? I'm not exactly in cartwheel mode, to be honest with you. I told you one way or the other, if it comes back fine, if it doesn't, fine. You know, we're occupied with so many other things, including the other three sports, but it'll be good to have at least a semblance of baseball rather than to have no season at all. So whatever they give us, I'll take. We'll all take as fans. We'll all sit there and watch the games. We'll hope for the fight fills to maybe get lucky and get into a playoff situation, which might be very possible. Their pitching holds up early in the season. And so we have that. Are we happy, Tyrone and Natalie, about baseball? I just want to take your temperature here.
Yeah. I'm happy at 65. I can accept it. It'll be like 65 games in 73 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be different. I'm in.
All right, you're in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Sure. I don't know if there's anybody can say they're out. You know, it's, again, we were conditioned to think there could be no season, and we were going to have to be okay with that. So now if there's a season, it's a mild bonus. It's not a great bonus. It's not like we're totally, oh boy, golly gee whiz.
Yeah, no, I'm happy if they do it, but any of the excitement, like I said yesterday, has kind of been sucked out just because of all the drama.
Right.
So, but sure. Bring it back.
And
65 games.
So,
woo-hoo!
Because it's back, we get to the next step, like we do with all these seasons, right? All these different plans that have the season carry on, like the NBA and the NHL, and then football coming, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and the Dr. Fauci spin on this whole thing. And we're looking at whether these Philadelphia teams have any kind of a chance to do anything. We talked about the NBA coming back with the elaborate 100-plus page plan yesterday, whether the Sixers can actually be one of those teams that charges out and gets into the NBA Finals. One guy from Sports Illustrated says they have a distinct advantage to do that. So once we have the sport in front of us, in any abbreviated form, we're going to ask ourselves the question on whether our teams have a chance. And if it's a clean slate, you're talking about, sure, the Sixers have a chance. Sure, the Flyers have a chance. And in a shortened season, with three decent starting pitchers, sure, the Phillies have a chance to get in the playoffs. So it's not like we're coming back, what's the use? We stink anyway. And we don't have that.
No.
So it's optimistic. At least when they start playing, we'll go into it with a semblance of optimism, right?
We will for sure. And universal DH possibly, which opens up a possibility for a young kid playing more baseball. Or Rhys Hoskins, if you can't live with them in the field, he becomes your DH, because apparently part of the proposal is universal DH this year and next year in this proposal from both the players and the and the owners.
Okay, now maybe what's that, put Jay Bruce in the fold there?
Yeah, something like that.
Joseph, is he still on the team?
You know what else it allows you to do? It gives you days off for McCutcheon sometimes, where you don't have to play him in the field, but he can still lead off and play. You have options, but it helps the Phillies.
I'm good. Hey, ask me, like, inject me a truth serum and ask me if I think the Phillies are any good, playoff worthy. I go, man, probably not. But in this kind of a situation, who knows what could happen? You know, we looked at that 83 Phillies team, that old team. And we said, they don't have a chance. The Wheeze kids. And all of a sudden, they put together one good month and they got to the World Series. So you never know.
The tough part, though, is let's say they start July 19th, which is the plan. It could also be done August 1st.
Yeah.
Because if you start off 2-10.
Yes.
Right.
So
then that's, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the key. But But see, in the context of pitching is always ahead of hitting early. The Phillies can throw out three guys with the rest of the division, right?
Yeah.
That are comparable to the rest of the division. Now, maybe 4 and 5 dilutes the whole thing, but the first three don't.
Mets lost Thor for the year, obviously. Yeah. That plays a big role in weakening them. They were in the mix. And then World Series hangover, perhaps, with Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah, now Washington scares me because they do have pitching. And some pitching is ahead of the hitting. So, that's a big mountain they'll have to climb. All right, let's move on to football. All of a sudden, we're in jeopardy.
Oh.
You know, we kind of thought this day might have... We touched on it yesterday, and here comes Dr. Fauci coming out with a situation where he says football may not happen at all this year. And if it happens, you're going to have to create the same kind of situation, the bubble type of atmosphere, unless players are essentially in a bubble, he says, insulated from the community, and they are tested nearly every day. It would be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall if there is a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season. Football may not happen this year. Oh, boy. Several Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans players in a state where there has been a surge of people testing positive coronavirus. So some of those players have been affected. And the NFL now has to scramble with medical information from the medical expert. And so here is their statement. The NFL chief medical officer... I didn't even know they had a chief medical officer, but they do. His name is Dr. Alan Sills, and he says the following. Dr. Fauci has identified the important health and safety issues. We and the NFL Players Association, together with our joint medical advisors, are addressing to mitigate the health risks to players, coaches, and other essential personnel. We are developing a comprehensive and rapid result testing program and rigorous protocols that call for a shared responsibility from everyone inside our football ecosystem. This is based on the collective guidance of public health officials, including the White House Task Force, the CDC, infectious disease experts, and other sports leagues. Make no mistake, this is no easy task. We will make adjustments as necessary to meet the public health environment as we prepare to play the 2020 season as scheduled, with increased protocols, safety measures for all players, personnel, attendees. We will be flexible and adaptable in this environment to adjust to the virus as needed. Yesterday we talked about, is that even feasible that they can increase safety measures for all players, personnel, and attendees to the extent where they could play a football season?
Sounds to me like they were alluding to that they're going to bubble the players. They're going to try to bubble the players.
Yes.
That's the way it
is. How realistic is that for a football team?
It's impossible.
Because you're talking about a longer period of time, first of all.
Right. Like, that's the thing. With the NBA bubble, within 6 weeks, I think you'll go from 22 teams to 8.
Mm-hmm.
In 6 weeks, you can ask a lot of people to do something for a lot of money for 6 weeks. And if NFL's case, it would be 17 weeks for everybody, all 32 teams, and then the playoffs. All the way up to February. That's a tall ask. Even if the players agree, you know there's going to be a player that breaks out of that bubble and goes and lives their life and catch it or whatever it may be. It's going to be a challenge.
Listen, you keep your fingers crossed on this, that this there will be a season. Because if there's not, can you imagine what you're going to go through without a football season? Now, we can imagine a baseball season. Because we've seen it before. We can imagine going, without the rest of the NBA or NHL season. We fathom that. With what everybody's involved with football, being part of their daily lives, their weekly lives, their fantasy football lives, their betting lives, their whole social calendar revolving around football, I don't think we could do it as a people. No. I really don't think we could do it.
You're right, and that's part of the reason why I think that there will be a season. I believe that there is enough external pressure. The question I have, Mike, to ask you is part of it, we can affect that by doing certain things to keep things safe.
Yes.
In between now and then, and then also in the fall. they mask are a thing. There's this big wave of people who are super anti-mask to the point where it's almost like a religious experience for them to be anti-mask. Mm-hmm. The states that are wearing masks right now are having a drop. The states that don't are not having a drop. And football's played in darn near every state. Will people, if they are threatened with losing football, in your opinion, would that make them change some behavior? Like,
that's a really interesting question. And I hope yes. I hope the answer to that is yes. But as defiant as people have been over this thing, we talked about it all the time. We tried to say, listen, it feels too soon. And you'd be like,
you don't know anything. Economy, man. People are killing themselves. We got to do.
Okay. And now we see surges because people weren't diligent enough. So I don't know. I don't know what ticks with people. I really don't. I've given up to finding out what ticks. Because we talked exactly about this. Hold your horses on this. Let's not open the country before it's time, because it's only going to make things worse. And here now we find ourselves, it makes things worse to the point where we may not have a football season. Now, that doesn't seem like life and death or taxes, but it's a major part of American culture. So we'll talk about it. We'll also talk about a couple of other heavy subjects today. The Colin Kaepernick thing and the president kind of backing off Colin Kaepernick. And I have some statistics that for all the people, when we talked about this a couple of years ago, and the people that loaded my email box and yelled and screamed at me for saying,
the reason why he's not on a team is because he stinks.
Well, we'll talk about that prospect. And I have some statistics that would indicate otherwise. And I also want to discuss at this point, because we're hearing people talk about it now. We heard Pete Carroll's mumbo jumbo giving it lip service. And then yesterday, the San Diego Chargers coach talked about it and wouldn't commit, except for the fact that he said people would have to be crazy not to have him on his workout list. Now, here's my question, and Tyrone, you can answer this when you go into the break. Is it almost incumbent upon a black NFL head coach to actually be the guy that gives Colin Kaepernick the chance? Because if he doesn't, who will?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So that's where I wanted to go with it. Like, there's a ton of white coaches in this league that probably should have thought about this before, but they're beholden to their white owners. Now you have a black head coach. If a black man can't extend that kind of a courtesy to a Colin Kaepernick, who can? And what would Anthony Lynn be afraid of? He would be afraid of offending his owner. I don't think he's in that tough of a spot at this point. I don't think Mike Tomlin is in that tough of a spot. If these guys aren't given, they can't sit around and wait for a white head coach to give Colin Kaepernick a job. It's within their control now to give him a job.
And a city like Los Angeles would accept.
And I think it's their responsibility. All right. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 FNAC.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, so 220, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-622-0975 is how you pop in to the phone lines today. We're going to get into some interesting topics. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start the Twitter poll. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. if you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer is the place to go in Doylestown, PA. You can order online. They have the top-notch equipment, and they'll put you into the equipment that you need most of all. PaulBMoyer.com. Call them. They have safe contact. Let's pick up Natalie Agonoff.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 100 votes on this one early. Are you concerned there will be no football season? 18% say yes, it'll be unsafe. 53% say maybe, wait and see. 29% say no, the virus isn't a threat.
29% say the virus is not a threat?
Yes.
Does their news come by carrier pigeon to their house?
Possible.
Yeah. We're seeing a surge in states where the restrictions were relaxed. So I'll explain that to me, if it doesn't exist.
And
we're seeing, you know, it's funny because the vice president said we're seeing more cases because we're testing more. What a flimsy rationale. We're seeing another wave of it.
In some of those states.
In certain states.
Yeah, certain states. And also, I think in Arizona, for every one new test, there's like 8 new cases.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, it doesn't apply.
Yeah. So on the heels of that, there are some NFL coaches who reportedly want the start of the regular season delayed because of what's going on in Texas with the Cowboys. So I don't know. We've now shifted our focus to the NFL and what can happen now. It looks like Major League Baseball finally going to come back, and we got the protocol in place for the NBA, NHL probably in the next couple of days, and now all of a sudden the focus turns to football. Are we going to actually be without a football season?
The tough part is I feel very confident the football season will start. I am less confident that the football season will finish.
Well, you know, and then we go through the same stuff that we did before.
Right, and that's... unless disciplined people, like, and I know on social media and people, somehow this gets turned into like a political issue when it's really not. Mm-hmm. To me, I just want sports to come back and I want people to be safe. It's very clear what actions, because things are opening up in Pennsylvania and New Jersey too, and things have rolled mm-hmm. along well, because for the most part, the vast majority of people are following. They're trying. You don't have to stand right on top of one another. You wear a mask. You do basic. We've learned the common sense things that work. We've learned that. And if you follow that, it works. But if you don't, like a lot of states are not, it doesn't work. And I don't. And somehow this gets turned into some like political issue when I just want safety and sports, like in movies and
yeah,
everything. You know what I mean?
Conservatives think it's not as serious as liberals do. And liberals scream for let's be more cautious, and conservatives say no, let's get out there because you know it's a semi hoax. So that's why it's a political issue, and it's never going to not be a political issue because people are programmed to think one way according to what their party thinks. But now it put it in the minds of the players. Now if you're a player and you have all this, you know, forget about the fan. Like we think this is like everything is done for us. There are players that have to participate in this, right? So players are afraid, and why wouldn't they be?
Right.
You know, football is a collision sport. You're knocking into people. There's expectorant flying all around. It's not a sanitary situation when you're playing football or practicing football.
No, and I hear the NFL when they say they're developing different things, but yeah. McManus was on Tuesday. Tim mm-hmm. McManus was on Tuesday, mm-hmm. 2 days ago, and he said that they're going to report in like, the end of July, they're still developing. I understand that they're going to have to change things, but I'm surprised they didn't. We already have mm-hmm. this much and we'll adjust. You get what I'm saying? Them yeah. saying they're still developing. Like France, NFL has unlimited money. France just has just came out with a saliva test. How is the NFL not the first ones, for example, to get that test? Because it'd be easier to do because you know you're going to have to test all the time. Why are they developing? Like, check that test. Is that test accurate? Is that mm-hmm. test sound? I don't care how much it costs. You have the money.
Yeah.
It's odd to me that they're still developing like 6 weeks out. They should have, we have a protocol and we will absolutely make adjustments as the science develops. But instead, it's like, we're still working it out. That troubles me. Well, and it would trouble me if I was a player.
Well, they've been, you know, not really vocal about the virus at all. So now that it's starting to ramp up towards the season, they're going to have to acknowledge it. But it just seems like they didn't want to acknowledge it before. They continued business as usual.
Exactly.
Now it's like,
they thought it was all going to be gone and we won't have to deal with it.
Exactly. And now they're forced to deal with it. And it's, oh, now we're looking into it. But it's like, where have you been? This wasn't going to go away.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how do you not have anything ready right now?
Yeah. Right. And, they should have...
Yeah, Fauci said, obviously, and it's, we talked about this, football is the perfect setup, quote unquote, to spread the coronavirus because of the close contact. Now, the NFL Player Association apparently did tell its members that they could be tested roughly every 3 days for COVID-19 and isolated if they test positive. That's about as far as they've gotten as far as protocol goes.
Like,
there's no comprehensive plan at all.
And you know you're going to have, at the start, 90 bodies. That's just the players. And then you cut down. Mm-hmm. And they also mentioned, and this makes sense, they're going to have extended practice squad because more players catch it, they can add more guys. But that leads to more bodies being in your buildings and more bodies being around one another.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have something. The NFL gets away with everything, but it's malpractice that they don't already have something buttoned up. When the NBA has something buttoned up, they're starting... Camp would start basically the same time as the NBA Orlando bubble season would start.
If I was a commissioner of this league, I'd be obsessed with it every minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously, like from months ago.
Right.
Obsessed with it every minute.
The draft.
With people and coming up with some kind of... Maybe they do. I don't know. Like maybe they haven't hatched it yet. Maybe they have been doing this all along and they're ready to spring it on us. But who knows?
But for a league that's so concerned about their bottom line 155,000% of the time, you'd think that they would have been more proactive.
Well, I agree. And like you think that this commissioner just walks around the NFL offices to... Like going, I'm the whiz. Like if that's from that Seinfeld thing.
Yeah. I'm the whiz and nobody beats me.
Nobody beats me. That's what the dude is. All right, John and Langhorne. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, John?
First time caller, long time listener.
How you doing?
Hey, so I'm an outside contractor for the Wells Fargo Center. Mm-hmm. I was there yesterday and they told me they don't expect any events until at least January, and that's being optimistic.
Yeah.
So I get that it's 20,000 people and it's a closed arena, but how are you going to sit there tell us that they're going to have fans at the Wink in September, 70,000 people, having season take a hold?
Yeah, they're probably not going to do that. I mean, that's the one thing we can probably say for certain right now. They're not going to have 70,000 fans in any kind of a football stadium.
Here's the thing, though. They're hitting Eagles. They're hitting us up for money now.
Well, of course they are. Yeah, of course they're going to hit you up for money. Now, they're going to have to refund that money, or it'll go to next year's if they don't play. So it's not like you're going to have to pay for no play.
I get that. I don't see how you decide, hey, your 6 tickets are going to be spread apart. Is this easier to play the games? Don't have us in there. Trust me. I moved from Colorado, 4 season tickets 12 years ago. I'm an Eagles fan, but I just want to watch football. I don't want to get sick.
I get you. Listen, the Wells Fargo Center, obviously, you can see how they couldn't have events in there, right? Because they're going to take care of the NBA and NHL and other venues anyway. So we don't have to use that building for that. The only thing that affected would be concerts. You can have concerts in there. So if they say there's not going to be anything until January, that's pretty, realistic.
Well, that's why I said, even the ice capades, you said nothing.
Yeah, you can't have, what's the point? Ice capades can't be in front of no people. And concerts can't be in front of no people. You can play sports because you can televise them. But events that you have to have people in the building, you can't have.
I get it. I just, I worry about them just doing the money over the health of people.
Yeah. No, I get you, John. I get you. And, that's pretty safe to say that nobody will be in that building. I mean, I don't know. Our own... our NBC Sports Philadelphia works out of the Wells Fargo Center. They haven't been back in there yet.
No.
So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that building until until next year. We might not even be able to have people in that building until there's a vaccine. You think about it.
Yeah.
It's an off-season. It'll be an off-season.
You're right.
So why would they have to have people in anyway?
Yeah, it'd be that, or if there's if there's some sort of treatment. It's one or the other. Either a vaccine or we find out, oh, this actual medicine,
yeah,
it actually works. And it's just, and now it's just like a cold for real.
Right.
If you catch it, we can make it like it's a cold. One of the two things would have to happen. They're working on both, obviously.
What Fauci said today about the football having to be played in a bubble, does that means to me you can't have any fans in. Like, you can't pop, like, these plans to have, like, restricted amount of fans in these games, what I'm reading with what Fauci's saying, that's not even part of the equation, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Definitely not any domes. I do know that there are different rules for outdoors and indoors. So outdoor stadiums, maybe you could somehow, if you kept them a certain distance away, they won't be front row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll have to be a certain way back. I can imagine that there could be a way outdoors, but like in the Georgia Dome or whatever it's called now, their new stadium mm-hmm. that's closed off, or the Superdome in New Orleans, no way. Because there are different rules and different signs for outdoors and indoors, sure.
Well, that speaks to this then. Is that fair? Is that fair? If you play in a dome, is it fair that you have to play in front of no fans while you go somewhere else? There's at least a semblance of fans that could help a home team.
Like the Buccaneers playing the Saints.
Right.
Like Tom Brady, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If the Saints go to Tampa Bay maybe has an edge.
Like, yeah, because they'd have maybe 10,000 fans versus zero.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, that's whole part. Like, when you are planning for all this, those little things have to come into play. Like, you can't just say, okay, after a stadium, we're going to allow 5,000 people. And they're going to be like, well, hold a second. That gives me a disadvantage if I play indoors. A little detail like that can't even be ironed out.
Well, of course, you could have ironed this out back in April when you were doing the draft.
Well,
you could have had your health experts to say, you know, the outdoors is safer.
Yeah.
They say part of the reason mm-hmm. that Texas and Arizona is having these uptick is when it broke in March, it's really nice to be outside in Texas and Arizona. Now that we're in June, it's not so nice to be in there. You're in the AC, boom, it spreads. Other states, they're going outside, they're dropping. So, like, the science is there for that. But
exactly. So let me ask you this. Is it fair to say, like, I'm in the boardroom. All right, anybody have feedback? I got something. You know, this indoor-outdoor thing. Would it be fair if the Saints play somewhere else, wherever they play can't have fans?
No. Hmm. No, that's not fair.
To make it an even playing field. If you come to my place, you can't have fans. I don't have any fans rooting my team on in my home building. But if I go to your building, you have a platform that can include 15,000 fans. That gives you an advantage. That's unfair. So if my indoor team has to go play outdoor, you have to make even the playing field by not letting your fans in your outdoor stadium.
So that would mean Eagles would lose a gate because they play
exactly
the Saints at home.
Yes.
So then they would then have no fans. So that's
right.
One less.
To make it fair, you have to even the playing field and lessen the advantage for the outdoor team. Now, I mean, this is just my head going off here, but think about that. That's got to be a consideration. If I'm the Saints or the Atlanta Falcons, I'm not happy with the fact that no fans are going to be allowed in my building.
No.
And I have to go somewhere else that are going to allow fans in.
Yeah. All right. You guys got to find a way to open up that dome, buddy.
That's what I'm saying. You can't. So, the only thing you can say is, well, unfortunately, this has got to be part of our protocol. If an indoor team has to play an outdoor team, the outdoor team can't have any fans. If two outdoor teams play, you can have fans.
Man, that whittles it down. And in Dallas, that building opens, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they could have it hypothetically.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not open air the way the Link is open air.
Right. No.
And
so suppose
in Arizona, it opens as well, right?
Yeah, that one opens all the way.
But suppose in early September, it's 110 degrees.
Right.
Right, then you got to close it because you don't want players playing at 110.
They should just nix the fans all together. They're just going to have to.
That's what I'm saying. The easiest solution is, listen, I hate to do this, but this has got to be part of the protocol button that we're trying to button down. If the NBA's is 113 pages, ours is 213 pages.
Right.
And 20 are dedicated to the indoor team going to play the outdoor team.
And honestly, don't you think it would be a little bit more simple for the NFL since there's 16 you know, regular season games. Like, right. There's only eight, so many games
you're
that
only
they
losing
have.
Eight dates, and so much more of their revenue is TV-driven compared to baseball.
Right.
Right.
Like, they could give away tickets for free and still turn a huge
exactly.
profit
so
in the NFL.
So it's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be fair. That would be a fair proposal.
That would be the fairest way to do it.
All right. 610-632-0975. Chris in Allentown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike. How you doing,
What's
man?
Up, Chris?
All right. Good show. Always good. Good topic. Tyrone, Natalie, you guys are doing a nice job. So, all right, enough with the patronizing. Let's go right to the point if we can.
Okay.
Statistically, fatality rate of this COVID, where are we at with it? I know you study things, you're an attorney, research data, all of it being important. Where are we at with the fatality rate? I think that's one thing first. 0.03?
Well, 0.03. Wait, what are you talking about? Are you trying to make the case that this is less deadly than the flu? Is that the case you're trying to make?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say it's slightly above that.
Yeah, but you do know the reason for that, right? You do know that we have taken precautions and we do testing and we do isolation. Yeah. And it's still deadlier.
There's no vaccine. I understand. And I think...
Okay, but you can't look. That number is skewed. That doesn't mean anything, that number. It's inherently more deadly than any disease we've ever had.
Arguable, and I'll tell you why I'm going to say that, because I'm only going to look at the stats. We hear the fear, we hear the bravado of the guys saying it's nothing. You know, both are wrong, in my opinion. But I looked at the coroner's report. You look at Leah County coroner's report, and you can see statistically where we're at.
Yeah, but did you not just hear what I talked about with testing and precautions, and that's why it's holding down the mortality rate? But even like that's why you're giving me a percentage number that doesn't mean anything.
Arguable.
Arguable.
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, we all have to get out there. And I think it's always been agreed upon.
Chris, why? Like, hold on. I just got to stop you here. I understand what your point is. You want to get out. You're against the restrictions and all this. Now you are of a group that I hear daily, right? But like when in these states that have relaxed the restrictions, that there's been a spike in the amount of viruses. Now explain that to me.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hear contradictory reports of that, too. I mean, you're saying that, and that's one source of data. I'm not sure of that, so I'm not ready to kind of put up the flag and say that's
the governor of Texas and Florida, both Republicans, right, have confirmed the data.
Okay, here's the other scenario, too. And I think the argument is has been said, the cases are going up, they're increasing. But the good news of all of this is that this situation is people, it's increasing, the fatality rate, thank God, is very low. I mean, when you really break that down. So, you know, I think that's...
Is it possible that we're, because of the testing, we are detecting it in time, and that's why that mortality rate is that way? You seem to ignore the precaution part of this whole thing.
No, because I'm going to make a direct ratio between once people who have it tested for it.
Chris, your overall point, what is your overall point? That this is this is a sham?
No, it's not a sham. That would be ignorant to think of.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, look at statistics. One who has it, what is the fatality rate that goes with it? What is the average person of fatality? You know, nursing homes.
Let me just try to summarize. You're saying that your precautions are overrated.
And at times
frivolous.
No. I wear a mask. I'm in the real estate business. I have to.
Okay. So what is holding you? Your business is because the restrictions have held down your business.
I'm on, man. I'm full on. We're working. We as of May 19th.
I don't get why you would think like this. When people's lives are at stake and people are getting sick, why would you be on the other side of that?
Okay. I don't want anybody to get sick. I mean, I have four children. I mean, I'm a responsible person to go with it.
All right. And why are you on the other side? What is your motive for being on the other side?
Well, I don't know if I'm on the other side. I just happen to be somewhere probably in the middle, but I'm going to look at statistics and I'm going to look at stats.
But you're looking at stats and you're not listening to me. And people look at this, oh, the fatality rate means this virus is not, this isn't even as serious as the flu. And it's like you've got your numbers skewed. You've got your wires crossed. The simplest thing that you can determine out of the COVID-19 is that it's the deadliest virus that we've ever had.
I have some data. He asked for some data.
Yeah.
So in Pennsylvania, there's been 77,999 confirmed cases. Of that, 56,939 have recovered and 6,162 in the state have passed away so far. That would mean that 7.9% of the people that got it have passed away. That's a pretty high rate. 8% roughly of those who caught it in the state of Pennsylvania have passed away. And that means there's also right now 14,099 people currently who still have it, who have not recovered, that are maybes. 8%, I don't want an 8% that I pass away. That's pretty darn high. Everything I do in my life, I have less than an 8% chance of dying. I wouldn't do something if I had an 8% chance of dying. I don't want anything near, I don't want to be anywhere near an 8%. And I'm in Pennsylvania right now. And in this state, based on the data that he was just asking for, you have a 7.9% of, of dying based on the data.
I've heard from people before, they cite this world 0.something% data, and it doesn't have, it doesn't include, it doesn't factor in testing, it doesn't factor in precaution, and they swear by this. You can't just take a number and do what you want with it. The number has context,
right?
And state by state, these are real numbers.
Right. Now, they'll make the argument that those people were older, and this does not state that. Maybe every single of those 6,000 people, that 162 people that died, maybe they were all over the age of 70. Maybe it was. But I'm saying that based on just raw numbers, I also have older people in my family. I know you do, Mike. I know you do, Natalie. I know pretty much everybody has older people in their families. I would hate to go around my grandmother, for example, and have her have an 8% chance of dying. Like, I could not do that. I couldn't live with myself. That would not, and I'm sure some of these NFL players that are going about to play, since that was the premise of why you brought it up, I don't think they want to 8% kill their grandmothers.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't have any older people in my family. In fact, I'm the old.
I forgot. No. You get the point.
Yeah, I don't have grandparents left.
Right.
I don't have parents left. But
right, also my aunt either?
Yeah. What's that? No, I don't have any aunts left either.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh.
I got, you know, I got a few cousins, but I don't have any aunts or uncles living. But that's okay. I get it. Here's the thing. I will acknowledge that people, like your mom, you're back to work, the economy going again. I've never disagreed with that. But when we were talking in the context of that, we said, but you can't put people at peril and make that more important than people's lives. And so what's happened here is that we got to be cautious. We got to be cautious about this. We can't go too soon. The states that have relaxed restrictions are seeing an uptick. Now, I mean, that's if P then Q. You know, I don't know what more to say about that. So, all right. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
248. Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Baseball looks like it's going to be playing. We'll wait for a counteroffer from the owners or a settlement in the middle, players go, okay, here's our proposal. You propose 60, we propose 70. Let's meet in the middle. And boom, you'll have 65 game schedule. And so we'll get it. We'll get it back. And are we happy about it? Yeah, sure. I'm happy about it. I'm not overwhelmingly giddy, but I'm happy about that we're going to have some form of baseball.
Yeah, I'm also a little bit angry in that because of the players ended up, I'm angry at both sides a little bit more at the owners for this reason. They ended up caving on the full prorated salary.
Mm-hmm.
You do this 3 weeks earlier, and July 4th, we have baseball. And I think that would have mattered in America, even at home, for people to be able to watch baseball July 4th weekend. And July 4th this year is on a Saturday. Right. So having that third, fourth, fifth weekend having baseball would be significant. And if you were going to cave anyway, owners, you owed it to your cities of Philadelphia, New York, Boston, et cetera, to have July 4th baseball. And I'm a little bit mad. It bothers me. That's Americana.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And, you know, I was, I actually got energized this week by NBC Sports Philly.
Watching
the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Watching the playoffs in the 2008 season. Now, mm-hmm. I know it's not going to be the same level of excitement when I watch a Phillies game in this kind of a season, but just the notion of the mastery of baseball and the intrigue and the strategy is evident when you see playoff situations, when you see pitchers trying to get out hitters and scouting reports and having to dot corners of home plates and stuff like that. I love the whole thing. And watching these games has got me back into it a little bit.
I noticed you've been a little bit energized.
Yeah, I've been energized by the circumstances of those games and the energy level that those games brought, but more importantly, the strategy of those games and how those games were played, because one false move cooks you in a World Series.
Right.
And we've seen that in these games.
Right.
And so last night, the Phillies win that game on a little chopper because the relief pitching for Tampa Bay in the end relented just a little bit and had put men on base, had bring in six man infield, the whole bit.
Yeah.
But McCarver had one of the all-time McCarverisms last night.
What was it?
I started doing the imitation based on an example of what he did last night. You probably missed it.
Yeah, what did he say?
Evan Longoria comes up in the third inning, and he smashes one to left field. The wind holds it. Burrow catches it at the wall. You remember that last night's game?
Yeah.
All right, so that circumstance happened last night's game.
I don't remember what McCarver said. I almost tuned him out. And now I'm hearing your impression when I'm hearing
this. This is the ultimate McCarverism. This is the kind of thing he would say all the time. So he says, because he tries to get overly quippy and clever. So now the shot goes on Longoria in the dugout. And he says, some players are robbed by fielders. Evan Longoria was robbed by the elements. Now that is classic McCarver.
That is classic.
That's a good line.
It's not terrible.
No, that's a good line. It's clever.
It's not clever at all.
It's kind of clever.
It's not even remotely clever.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
By the elements.
It's trite and it's just saying something, thinking that you think it's clever, and it's not.
Someone else would just say that the wind was blowing in on that one and just call it good.
I don't know. All right,
the
whatever. I like it. Fine. I'm going to use it.
Some players are robbed by fielders. Evan Longoria was robbed by the elements. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah. He did have...
See, I chuckled.
Longoria, in hindsight, though, he did have a lot of bad luck in that whole series. He hit a bunch of balls on a line.
Yeah.
Two people or stuff like that. He kind of... he's a really good player. Yeah. He struggled in a way, but not because he wasn't putting good contact. That's where baseball's cruel.
Yeah. Worth got picked off again last night.
Yeah.
He makes more boneheaded plays than I realized.
Because we were all focused on that Victorino. And in the meantime, Worth making all the mistakes. Victorino somehow was locked in that series.
Did that destroy that inning? All right. Let's go Dane in Springfield. Dane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dane.
How are you, Mike?
What's up, Dane?
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't inform you, Natalie, and Tyrone how much you've helped myself and my family during these last couple of months that have been dreadful. But 2 o'clock has become my day every day, so I appreciate
it. Well, thank you, Dane. Thanks for listening to us. Thank you. We appreciate it.
So, to your point, you mentioned about Roger Goodell, mm-hmm. how he hasn't really implemented mm-hmm. his plans or anything at all. You know, I don't think he's concerned slightly about this. I really believe that. I mean, you look at the whole concussion thing over the years, and I grant you concussions aren't contagious. This coronavirus obviously is. But I think in a guy like his world, his mindset, he's just totally far gone, and he just envisioned stadiums on September 13th with all the players in the field and fans in the stands. I think it's the same thing like what we're seeing. Now, this is a different world here in the WWE with Vince McMahon, how now because one of their performers tested positive, now they're implementing things, but they weren't doing testing on a regular basis before.
With Goodell, I don't understand how, like, an educated man, he's obviously an educated man, well-educated man, how he could be such an airhead. Like, he was an airhead during the draft when he kept insisting they're going to have it as normal in Las Vegas, remember? It went to, like, 2 weeks before they actually had the draft that they all had come to these plans.
And the thing about it is, Mike, and I know this seems rather trivial, and you tweeted about it during the draft, is how he kept, you know, telling those fans, oh, come on, cheer. Everything that he does just seems forced.
It really does. He's a total walking suit with no DNA in it.
But these owners love him because he's printing the money. I know, seriously. But I think what you laid out there, you know, you're more educated than him. You have a law degree. You laid out a plan there. I think if in your next endeavor, maybe you could be NFL.
Yeah, sure. They'll stick me right in there. I'm the man. He makes 42. They can't give me for less than 45 mil. Tell you right now.
I implore my fellow citizens, especially down south, you know, in Texas, where they're opening up, coming out guns a blazing, start wearing masks because we need football in September. This country is starving for content. And even if it's without fans, we mm-hmm. need something.
Yeah, I got you, man. Thanks a lot, Dane. We appreciate the call. You know, it does amaze me how he seems oblivious to a lot of things. Like, this would be an obsession for any normal human being who runs a league. And I know you got to kowtow to owners, but I'll be on the phone every day. Come on in. We got to come up with something here. We don't have to tell the public, but let's go. Let's get, you know, we get, this is a serious situation. Like, we got to have football. So we got to energize our workers here to put a plan and comprehensive plan in place. Let's go. Let's get it done. He's like just a.
I really feel like this is just the NFL, and it's just they think that they're so untouchable when it comes to so many things, not just this. So they just think that they're going to be able to just push through whatever it is.
Yeah, I get it, but
it's just weird, though.
A leader of a band has to write music every now and then, you know?
It's like
you just can't, like, just walk the halls.
But he's never been accountable for anything, either.
No, he hasn't. All right, 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour coming your way with your phone calls and a little discussion on Mike Gundy, the head football coach of Oklahoma State. I know we've been teasing this all week, so I'm going to get into it because I want to play a soundbite from Mr. Gundy and try to shed some light on what he's actually trying to say here. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.